Welcome to the Automators. I'm David Sparks and joined by my co-host, Rosemary Orchard. And this is where we talk about how to automate your technology to do your work for you. Hello, Rose.
Hey, David. How are you?
Good. I have been looking forward to this one. We've mentioned on the show in the past that Elgato has been up to their usual tricks with the Stream Deck. And we thought that was a good excuse to do an episode catching up on Stream Deck.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, we do love our Stream Decks, and, you know, I use mine every single day without really thinking about it. I was actually just screen sharing at work earlier today, and somebody said, oh, okay, can you take a quick look at this story for me? So stories are sort of our sub-projects, I guess. I was like, sure, what's the number? And I hit the button on my Stream Deck, and a little macro run by Keyboard Maestro popped up a little input on my screen. And so as the person said the number, like 1234, I typed it in and hit enter, and it opened the web page for me.
Yeah.
And they were like, hang on a second, what just happened? Because I've made it really easy for myself to do things like open particular stories at work, or, you know, go to certain systems, which I need to do in certain browsers. And, you know, there's if I need to remote desktop into one thing, then I actually have to open a terminal first and stuff like that. So for all of those things, I've created macros. And for things that, you know, I don't necessarily like need, you know, super regularly, so I don't need them as a keyboard shortcut, they're on my Stream Deck right in front of me with a pretty little icon to make it really easy to just reach out and press the picture, and then the magic happens.
Yeah, and that, for people who are not familiar with the Stream Deck, this is such an automator-friendly tool. It's a piece of hardware made by Elgato that's a control surface. It's got a bunch of buttons on it, and then there's a screen behind it, and then the screen can give custom backgrounds to each of the buttons. And as automators, we can do a bunch of things with it. We're going to get into the software and the hardware here in a minute. But just the general idea is it's a control surface near your Mac or your PC, and you can push a button and make things happen. And I understand that there's lots of ways to assign keyboard shortcuts, but the Stream Deck, as someone who loves keyboard shortcuts, I can tell you the Stream Deck really is useful because it's always there. And like I said, we're going to go through our uses and what we're doing with them. But I guess that's enough of a basic explanation. It's called the Stream Deck because they started it as a product for streamers, like game streamers and people who do streaming video. But quickly, they added the ability to, you know, just run general macros, which makes it so much more useful than just a streaming device. I think the name feels a little antiquated, honestly, at this point. But we love our Stream Decks. Rose and I have multiple. I thought maybe we'd start by just checking in on the body count. How many Stream Decks do you own at this point, Rose?
Okay, so I've got my Stream Deck XL, Stream Deck Plus, Stream Deck Pedal, Stream Deck Neo, and Stream Deck Mark II. So that's five. I have five Stream Decks. At what point do we start admitting that we have a problem?
Yeah. Wait,
I have fewer Stream Decks than you. I am sure of that. How many do you have, David?
No, I also have five. So, but the I've got the XL is the big one. It's got 32 buttons on it in a grid of 4x8. And I got one of those, and then we were on the show talking about it at some point, and I said, I don't know why you would need to. I think it was a Mac Power User. Somebody on Etsy created a custom 3D printed like bracket where you could put two of them together. And after I made fun of owning two of them, one of the users wrote me and said, challenge accepted. He had one that he wasn't using any longer. He sold it to me. And now I have two of the big XLs. And then a year or two ago, they came out with the Stream Deck Plus, which is only eight buttons, but it also has four dials. So that's kind of useful.
We'll and talk. Touch screens above them as well.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about all of this as we go through it, but just kind of to index the body count. They came out with a new one called the Stream Deck Neo, which is what led to this show. It's more of a consumer-friendly one. It's eight buttons, but it's got some very clever features. It puts the date and time on it. It allows you to scroll through multiple setups.
Without using a whole button as well, which is really nice.
Yeah, exactly. And then they also have a pedal, and the pedal is a three pedal gizmo you put on the floor at your desk, and you can trigger automations with your foot. And if you do things like podcasting, that can be pretty useful.
Even if you're not podcasting, if anybody's not seen it, if you think of, if you go to a concert and there's a guitarist with an electric guitar, they've probably got a foot pedal there that they, you know, they walk over to and they hit at various points to do various things on their guitar. This is in addition to the switches and flips and so on their guitar. And if you think of piano pedals, as you hold a piano pedal, that changes the sound of how the piano plays. Well, a Stream Deck pedal is very much a similar concept in that it's only three pedals, but that's quite good because I can easily distinguish between those three with my feet, because the middle one is, and I'm wearing, I was really silly last week, I was wearing sneakers, David. I was wearing sneakers, really comfy sneakers previously, and I got giant blisters on the bottom of my feet. So I'm currently wearing slippers with really thick soles to cushion my feet to make sure I don't do any more damage to my feet. And through those very thick soles, I can still feel the difference between that wider middle button and then the ridge where the right button starts, or the ridge where the left button starts, and then, you know, put my foot on the correct button very easily. And I use this for all sorts of things, muting myself in various applications, you know, as I'm having meetings at work or as we're recording. I can hit the button and it inserts a timestamp into the show notes, and then it pops up a little thing for me to say, hey, like, what sort of timestamp do you want to input, you know, to give me a little hand if it's like a chapter marker or a cough mark or something, so that we can pass that on to our editor. And I honestly think the Stream Deck pedal, despite it only being three buttons, is underrated. It's a very sneaky little, it's not super visible, but it just means that you've got your feet there anyway, right? You can just press a button and then the thing happens without you really needing to move the rest of your body. And especially if you've got one foot resting on it already, that's very handy.
Yeah, I'm not sure I agree with the pedal. To me, that's the least used device because it is just three buttons. But I do have it rigged when I'm on a Zoom call to be able to hide the camera, you know, mute the audio, things like that. And it makes sense for that. Historically, I had used it with my Elgato microphone capture device because they, you know, all the Elgato stuff works together so easily as a mute button, but then that device stopped working. In fact, today on Automators Max, we're going to talk about other Elgato gear we own. And so it was useful for that, but I've got to tell you, I feel like I'm underutilizing the pedal. Like, there's part of me that feels like, well, I should be able to, like, maybe I turn the center one into new task and OmniFocus or something, but it never really sticks for me. It clearly is useful for like online meeting stuff, but I haven't been able to really get it to stick as for any other use, honestly. Just kind of looking through, one of the ways the Stream Deck works is you can make various setups. Like, you could say, if you're in a certain application, make it do this or that. I've been setting it up lately because I make a lot of Loom videos for my team, and I've got it set up so when I open Loom, I can trigger things. When I open Zoom and ScreenFlow, so the recording style apps, I find it useful for, but I just can't really get it to work for me in general.
Well, I guess we will need to talk about that then, David, because I feel like for me, it's an incredibly useful application or a tool to help with, what I'm currently doing with, you know, with my, what is the right word for it? Context, I guess. Yeah. Because I mean, one of the ways that I decide what my pedals should be doing is based on what I'm currently doing through my setup that I've currently set up through Bunch or similar. And so that will help me then decide, or that dictates what the pedal does at any moment in time. Because, you know, when I've set it up to say that I'm podcasting, then, you know, I pop it into podcasting mode and it does one thing with, you know, inserting stuff into the show notes or just activating the show notes or activating Zoom. And if I switch to a meeting, then it toggles it to being for like mute, bringing up the meeting window again, and then opening drafts, because that's where I write my notes. But when I'm doing my programming, then different buttons will open my IDE, or they will open my browser because I'm a web developer, so I'm often switching between those two, or the terminal, because that's what I need. And I tend to just have it activate applications or do one simple function, most likely as a toggle. But I also have it set up so that I am currently, I have a button on my Stream Deck XL that I can easily see that shows me, or which lets me set the profile of my pedal. So it's actually a folder. And then when I press on the folder, it allows me to say, okay, I want podcasting mode, or I want iOS Today mode, because that does things slightly differently, or I want my work mode and things like that.
Yeah. I've done the same setup in terms of how I switch modes on it. But like I said, I just find in general, I find myself more likely to go push a button on a Stream Deck or use a keyboard shortcut than use the pedal, except for those kind of video style items. And I don't know why. I just can't seem to get myself into the mode of using it day to day for other things like launching an app or things like that. So I'm aware of it. I'm trying to like explore other ways to use it. Like I was thinking the other day, maybe I use it as like a dedicated music control, like, cause I listen to music all throughout the day and I could have like pause, play, previous and forward just as I'm sitting through the day. But at the same time, I've got an Apple keyboard and I've got those controls literally like a half inch from my finger. And I think I can probably get to the control on the keyboard faster than I can get my foot on the pedal. And like that, that's where I run into the block on the pedal. But yeah, I mean, that's, I guess, so we are now officially talking about the pedal. It's been out for a couple of years. And like I said, I am struggling to find uses for it beyond video and meeting. But for the stuff I do use it for, I find it quite useful.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I found it to be indispensable, but it is primarily when combined with other with another device, because the problem with the pedal is, unlike the Stream Deck, there is no screen to tell me what that button's going to do. I also have a desk in the way. My desk is not glass, it's solid wood. So I can't look through my desk down at a picture to see what it's going to do. So I have been, I've worked on a couple of different, options over time. At the moment, I've just gone with there is a folder which shows me which profiles I can choose, and then I just rely on having selected the right one. But one of the things that I have tried previously is the sort of switch type button that you can have in the Stream Deck. It's not the one that's a multi-action. I think it is a switch where something can have two states. When you press it, it switches between them, but that only works if you only sort of have two, because I like having the, the visual indicator of, which profile I'm on. And that's the kind of tricky part. So maybe I can do something. TJ Luoma created that awesome, calendar, keyboard maestro Stream Deck combination. Maybe I can do something like that, where when I set the Stream Deck profile, it also triggers Keyboard Maestro macro that sets a particular button image for me, so that I know what the image, so I know what profile I'm currently on, because that could definitely be handy for a lot of people if they've got multiple profiles for the pedal.
Yeah. Well, I would argue that the pedal is probably the most niche product of all of the Stream Decks, but it is, like I said, if you do stuff in front of a camera, you just stick it down on your foot and there you go. But can I get back to the kind of the primary Stream Decks and talk about those? Because I want to talk about what I'm doing with my pair of XLs. After I made fun of it, I did order the stand off Etsy. It's a 3D printed stand, very well crafted, and it's got magnets embedded in it. So the Stream Decks fit on it kind of perfectly, with one on top and one on bottom. And they're both XLs. So I've got 64 buttons on these two Stream Decks combined. And they sit under my monitor and right above my keyboard. So that is a very, convenient location. And that's really the primary control surface of Stream Deck for me, even though I've got some others we can get into in a minute. And the way I do it is, the top one is static. The buttons are always the same. And if you never use a Stream Deck, Rose was mentioning earlier, profiles, you can have different sets of buttons that show up. So if you've got like an answering email profile, it's got your email buttons, and then you've got your managing tasks buttons. It changes all the buttons out to managing tasks buttons, or whatever it is that you want to do with it. But I keep the top one static. It doesn't have different profiles. It's got like key stuff for me. Like that's where I've got the Zoom mute controls. That's where I can turn on the recording light outside my door. I've got a bunch of home control stuff. I can lock the front door here. Sometimes, like, and I'm working in the morning, my kids will leave the house. My wife, she doesn't lock the door. I press a button, door will lock. The same thing, I can control the lights in the room. And then I also have buttons that correspond to changing the profiles on the bottom one. And the bottom one for me really does change a lot. Like right now I'm on the podcasting one and it's got buttons in front of me for, it's got like Rose's time zone. If this thing is right now, Rose, it's 18:23 at your house. And I can save recordings. I can set up episodes. I can do Zoom controls. I can add timestamps. I've got a whole like series of buttons I've created over the years that give me everything I need to drive a podcast, and that those appear on the bottom set of Stream Deck buttons. But when I finish the show, maybe I'm going to go over to OmniFocus, and OmniFocus will then take over control. It has the ability to automatically switch those profiles when you go into an app. So like I've got a button series for OmniFocus, and if I do that, the bottom one will switch from podcasting to OmniFocus, and I'll have all the various controls that I want out of OmniFocus. So you can really do a lot with a pair of these things. After I made fun of it, man, I don't think I'd give it up.
Mm, yeah, I do something similar with the Plus. So the Plus is mostly static and doesn't really change all that much, but it allows me to do things like, you know, see and easily control the volume and so on. One thing that is important to know about my setup is I have two machines on my desk. I have my laptop and my desktop, my Mac Studio. And so I'll do all of my podcasting and everything, you know, personal on my Mac Studio. But I also use my laptop for work. So it means that I can, you know, easily have both set up. And then at lunchtime, just, you know, swap over to the Mac Studio, because switching users on Mac OS, especially if you're a developer and you're trying to run services and stuff, it gets a little bit hairy at times. So I just switch machines if I need to do a little podcast prep at lunchtime. And that means that my Mac Studio is always ready to go. But as part of this, I switch my keyboard and mouse and Stream Deck pedal and Stream Deck XL between my two machines. I use, it's actually a USB switch. It's sort of similar to a KVM for anybody familiar with those. But basically, I have, you know, a button on my desk with, it's actually got four buttons on it. So I guess I could connect this to four computers. And one is my Mac Studio and two is my my laptop. But when my Mac Studio is the one with the keyboard, and mouse control, then the Stream Deck Plus will be controlling the Stream Deck XL. If it's not, then, you know, the buttons that I have in that second row don't really do a lot. But that's okay, because, you know, my Stream Deck XL has, you know, what, 32 buttons on it. So yeah, I can control my Stream Deck XL from my Plus a lot of the time when I'm using my Mac Studio, which is great. And then I have the other buttons to just allow me to do whatever I need as I want.
Yeah, I'm really spoiled with this two XL setup. I'm currently, like, I've been playing with things. Like, there is a set of plugins for the Stream Deck that will display, like, the current date, time, and weather. And I had those across the top row for the longest time, but I found that I never looked at them. You know, I want the time and date. I look at my screen. I don't look down at the Stream Deck. So I killed those off recently, and now I've got four buttons here that I haven't used yet. So I'll have to figure out what I'm going to do with those. But it's kind of an organic process if you get one of these. I want to take a little side note, though, on Stream Deck as we're doing this update. And we've mentioned this on the show in the past, but you can drive a Stream Deck with the built-in Elgato software, or you can use Better Touch Tool, which can take over the Stream Deck entirely. And I was just wondering, where are you on that these days?
So it depends on what machine I'm using, actually. So on my laptop, I am using Better Touch Tool to control my Stream Deck XL or the Stream Deck Mark II that I have as my on-the-go device, because, of course, I have a Stream Deck in my portable office bag. And yeah, so that's what I'm using there. And then on my Mac Studio, I am using Elgato's software, just because I use Ecamm a lot for iOS today and some other things as well, which allows me to do things like use my Stream Deck pedal to pop up my iPhone on screen or to pop up my iPad on screen, or to switch back to just a view of me. And that's not something that's easy to do without support from Ecamm. I'd have to kind of like hack around it with like Clickit image or adding a bunch of keyboard shortcuts and then using Keyboard Maestro to trigger stuff. So I decided that on my Mac Studio, I was going to stick with the Stream Deck software. But on my laptop, I am using Better Touch Tool.
I have spent a lot of time experimenting with Better Touch Tool, and I think in a lot of ways it's superior to the Elgato software. Elgato software feels a little rickety to me, to be honest. But it's like Rose said, there's a bunch of features in the Elgato software that I don't get in Better Touch Tool. And I just decided at this point, at least, I'm sticking with the Elgato stuff. But I'm always keeping attention on Better Touch Tool. And in Elgato, I call it rickety, but it works. You know, it just, it there's not a problem that when you press the buttons, everything happens. But just occasionally, oddities happen. Like yesterday, as I was actually working on the outline for the show, the top Stream Deck of my two XLs just went dark on me, and I don't know why. You know, so I rebooted the software. That didn't fix it. I unplugged it and plugged it back in. That fixed it right away. I've never had that experience when I was running the Better Touch Tool software, where I get sometimes oddities with the Elgato software, but. There's so many plugins for it. There's so many third parties that are in on it. And Elgato is actively working on this. There's always updates. It's not like it's kind of like the hardware / abandonware that you get with a lot of stuff you plug into your computer. This is actively being developed. I mean, one thing that's changed over the years we've been talking about Stream Deck is they've turned it into a store now where you can buy icon sets and additional features if you want. So they've got a lot of good reasons to want to make their software work.
Yeah. And it's one of those things as well where they are working really hard on it. And to that end, they've actually launched the marketplace online, which is, it's like an app store for your Stream Deck. So if you install some software, say, for example, Ecamm Live or Furago, which is from Audio Hijack, not Audio Hijack, Rogamiga, the folks who make Audio Hijack, Paul Kafasis, we had him on the last episode of the show, then those applications can prompt you to install a Stream Deck plugin. But in lieu of that, for everything else out there, because there's so many great options, then there is an actual marketplace where you can go and you don't have to actually have a Stream Deck to go onto the marketplace and look at what plugins there are for the Stream Deck. This is also not the only way to install Stream Deck plugins, icons, profiles. There's even sound, music, and screensavers now, which is pretty cool. But it is quite a nice way to find, you know, some of the things that are possible with the Stream Deck. So one of the things that is there is, for example, a toggle plugin, which is created by Toby Mori. He unfortunately isn't maintaining it, but it is open source. So it's been upgraded to use the new toggle API rather than the deprecated one. But it will show you, you know, your current timer on screen and how long it's been running for. And just being able to have a look and see what's available. If you are going to look at it, I do recommend make sure if you're looking at plugins that you filter for macOS ones. Because otherwise, like me, every so often you'll get very excited about something and then realize that it's a Windows-only one because it's using, you know, like PowerShell or something. And so you'd have to, you know, fork it and rewrite it to make it work on the Mac, which isn't always possible. But yeah, there's all sorts of great options, including, you know, some nice ones from Elgato themselves with support for Apple Mail and Apple Music. There's also one for Amphetamine, so you can control one of the applications that will keep your Mac awake from your Stream Deck and things like that, all of which is pretty cool.
Yeah, like one of the ones that they have that I think is really well done is they've got a Zoom profile and icon pack. So if you use Zoom a lot, you can just download some nicely formatted buttons, and it does a whole control surface, and it lets you pick which device you have. So like I have the XL, so it fills up all 32 buttons with various Zoom controls. And I did that just as kind of a joke to see what it was like, because I'd already made my own Zoom controls, but I actually found the one they made better than the one I had made. So So I started using it. And yeah, you can go through there and get access to a lot of that. This episode of the Automators Podcast is brought to you by Scriptrunner for Jira, the ultimate Jira automation and customization toolset. Go to the link in the show notes to get 6 months for free. As automators, we're always looking for ways to improve our workflows and make our tasks more efficient. If you've ever wondered about improving your Jira experience, Scriptrunner for Jira is for you. It's the leading automation and customization app, changing the way you interact with Jira, making it truly yours. If you're using Jira, get ready to unlock new ways to make it more flexible, powerful, and tailored for your needs. Scriptrunner for Jira is a must for automation fans using Jira. Whether you're on cloud or data center, it can take the pain and fuss out of regular tasks. You know those calculations you dread doing, like figuring out how many days left till a deadline, timesheet currency conversions, or mapping story points against actual time? Scriptrunner does the heavy lifting, automating repetitive tasks so you can focus on the cool stuff. Or maybe you wish you could quickly find tasks that slip their deadlines or view unfinished stories in your epics. Scriptrunner takes your search relevance to a new level that's just not available in native Jira. And make sure to try out its powerful behaviors feature, which allows you to create dynamic field rules to hide, show, or customize Jira fields based on user actions, find selections, project and issue types, user roles, and more. Enforce specific processes with Jira, such as automatically assigning a ticket to a specific person if the priority level is set to high, or add a pre-filled template based on the project and issue type to help your team fill out the most relevant and important information, improving the overall quality of your Jira issues. Scriptrunner for Jira is throwing an exclusive deal your way. Click the link in our description and get 6 months free for Scriptrunner for Jira Cloud. And make sure to let your Jira admin or IT manager know. Our thanks to Scriptrunner for Jira for their support of the Automators Podcast and all of Relay FM. Okay, so Rose, I didn't finish my tour of hardware before in the earlier segment. So I want to talk about the other two pieces I have. The Stream Deck Plus is the one I had mentioned. It's got the dials, some basic control surface and 8 buttons. And that has really turned into like media controls for me and desktop view controls. So I've got static buttons on there that runs Apple Music, runs my white noise generator, but also does stuff like hide the dock, hide the desktop icons. And I'm doing all that with various software keyboard shortcuts. Like I'm using CleanShot X's function to hide the desktop items. And I've just got that keyboard shortcut attached to a button. I've got, I think it's a terminal command or something I use to hide the dock. I don't even remember how I set it up, but I push a button and the dock gets hidden because I screencast a lot. I've got a terminal command that swaps the clock in the upper right corner between analog and digital, because when I screencast, even though you think I've only been there 30 seconds, it might be 45 minutes because screencasting is hard. And I feel like the analog clock makes it less obvious. I used to just not show a clock, but there's no way to do that now. But I made a little terminal that switches them out, and I have a button for that. So I use the Stream Deck Plus for that kind of stuff. The dials I've got connected to two Stream Deck key lights, so I can turn them on by pressing the dial, and I can turn them up and down using the dial to make them more and less. And then also on the wheel, the right wheel, I've got overall system volume. And then the second from right wheel, I have dedicated to Apple Music volume. And that is a keyboard maestro shortcut that is running a little Apple script that just lowers the music volume.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
One of my favorite things about my Stream Deck Plus is that it also gave me an excuse to use my 3D printer. And I printed a little shelf unit, so it holds the Stream Deck Plus on the lower shelf and my audio interface on the upper shelf, which got, you know, more room on my desk and just makes me happy that I can 3D print things.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, 3D printers are excellent. Have you actually put any 3D printer controls on your Stream Deck, David? Because I do have one where I know my 3D printer is actually right behind me. But I do actually have a button that will allow me to like open the camera stream for my 3D printer because I have a little camera pointed at it. So I can do time-lapse videos of things, which is always quite fun. If you make a little gift for somebody, being able to send them a little time-lapse video of it being printed as well is fun. But I tend to have that open in a little corner of the screen somewhere out of the way while I'm working, just because it means that I'm not constantly turning around and moving my head, you know, away to actually see what's happening with my Stream Deck or with my 3D printer, thanks to the Stream Deck.
Yeah, my printer's out in the wood shop, so that camera is actually even more useful for me, but I don't have it connected to a Stream Deck button. Maybe that's for my foot pedal. Like, give me a quick look what's going on in the garage. But that is a, the plus is, I think for someone like me who does a lot of media stuff, it's really useful to be able to set up lighting and camera rigs with those buttons. And I think that Stream Deck Plus is ideal for that. It does have, like you said, a control surface, which I almost never use. And I feel like that is, that could be better, honestly.
I feel like they learned from the Plus when it came to making the Neo, because one of the things with the Stream Deck Mini, which neither David nor I have, because it's only got 6 buttons on it. But one of the things about that is the fact that they were aware that the Stream Deck Mini only has 6 buttons. And especially if you want multiple pages, screens, or whatever, that means that you're using at least one of those buttons at all times, if not 2, which means you're down to 4. So with the Stream Deck Neo, which is the newest one, and their Neo range, by the way, is it's eco-friendly. So they're using eco-friendly plastics. They've upgraded all their packaging to be eco-friendly. So it's all card. And so it's biodegradable and so on, rather than plastics and things like that. But what they've done there is they have taken some of that sort of touchscreen element from the Plus, and they've put it as 2 buttons underneath those 8 buttons with that tiny little extra screen in the middle that can display things like the date and time or weather and things like that. So those 2 tiny little non-picture buttons at the bottom are for switching between profiles or pages and things like that. And I feel like that was a really good move there, because that for me works very nicely. And so I've been enjoying playing with that.
Yeah, I agree. And so that gets to the last one. I bought the Neo almost just to test it more than anything else. It's an 8 button one. Yeah. It's got a time and date below. Again, I've had this thing on my desk a couple months now. I almost never look at the time and date on it, although I do find it useful when my screen is dark. Like if I'm in the room and my screen is turned off or resting, I can at least see the time and date on the little Neo. And it's got 8 buttons. And I am currently, the idea behind this one is I'm putting setups on it, so I can push a button on there and have it set up to record a podcast or record a screencast or process mail or whatever. And that seems silly to me in some ways, because that is a very easy keyboard shortcut. But, you know, the magic of the Stream Deck, something to me, is where you just sit down, you push a button, and you start working. And I do find that to be beneficial. And I think the Neo is kind of perfect for that.
Yeah, yeah. It's also, you know, it's not a huge amount more than the Mini, but with those 2 extra buttons, you know, that's not just 2 buttons. That is, 33% more button real estate. Yeah. But it's actually, it's more, it's 50% more buttons because of those 2 extra ones at the bottom and the little display. And it is currently, at least as we record, on sale for $84.99. So hopefully that sale will hold for the release of this episode, because that is a pretty good price.
I think another excellent use for a Neo would be as a profile driver on a bigger Stream Deck. So if you've got the standard one or the XL, but you'd like to be able to jump between profiles the way I do with a static top one, but you don't want to buy a second XL, this would be perfect for that, because you could put the various profile buttons on the Neo, and then that would change the setup on the bigger one. I don't know. I think that would be a good use.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's one of those things where it's worth just spending a little bit of time playing with this. You know, I've put some links in the show notes for things like what are profiles on the Stream Deck and how can you automatically switch between profiles. So automatically when a particular application opens, and also how you can use one Stream Deck to control another. I think it is just worth, you know, having a look and seeing, you know, how could these things fit into your life? Because the beauty for me of the Stream Deck is I can remember keyboard shortcuts. I do. I customize keyboard shortcuts when they are wrong. And when I say wrong, I mean that I have 20 applications that use this keyboard shortcut to outdent, but this one does it differently. Well, that one gets changed, and so on. But even so, there is a limit to what I can comfortably hold in my head and remember. And especially if it's not something that I'm going to be pressing all the time or not something I want to do accidentally, easily, then I find having the Stream Deck with the picture buttons makes it so much easier, especially because you can do things like change the picture depending on, you know, various things that are going on. So for example, if you have if you are using Keyboard Maestro, then that setup that I mentioned that TJ Luoma shared on GitHub, and I will put a link to that in the show notes, actually, where you can have it change the image of the Stream Deck button based on the upcoming calendar event. So as it gets closer, that color will change. And I personally find that sort of thing is very easy. And then if I hit the button for the calendar event, then it will pop open Fantastic Owl for me. But, you know, depending on what you want to do with your Stream Deck, there are so many possibilities. And there's, you know, just lots of great plugins and so on out there as well. Like KM-Link is my preferred way of controlling keyboard or using Keyboard Maestro with the Stream Deck, and it just works very, very well. Having all of these options out there makes automating fun and also very, very simple.
Yeah, exactly. And people think it's silly when I talk about it, how many of these things I've accumulated. And in fairness, I always buy the new one because I just kind of want to talk about it on the show and be able to see what they're doing. But I'm also really impressed with the overall technology stack. The fact that I own 5 of them and the software has no problem with that. Like, it doesn't get hung up as I set buttons mm-hmm. in different pieces of it. It's all fairly impressive. And they have definitely pushed down the gas on this with their marketplace. There's so much stuff in there now. I don't even keep up with it. There's so much stuff. I can't, you know, stop and read it every day. But you know, no matter how you want to customize this thing to work for you, I feel like Elgato is really onto something. Maybe we could just go through a little bit of a lightning round and talk about some of our favorite uses for it. I'll do a couple to begin with. I really like the home control stuff off the buttons. And the way I do that is through an app called Home Control, one word. And Home Control allows you to generate a URL to trigger HomeKit actions. And then you can tie those to individual buttons. So like I said, I can lock the front door. I can turn on the recording light. I can use entire, you know, setups in the HomeKit application tied to a button. And I set these up so long ago and they just keep working. I love it. I can turn all the lights on. Like if I'm home alone and I hear a noise, I'm at my desk, I can push a button and turn all the lights on in the house or whatever, all off my Stream Deck. That's a really fun feature for me.
That is nice. Yeah. I mean, I have something similar for, you know, certain lights in my office, only the ones in my office, really. And, you know, while thinking about it, I should actually add a button to my Stream Deck to buzz the intercom because I previously had a new heat opener for my intercom, and that was fine until, unfortunately, at some point it just stopped charging and it now won't charge. And even when it's plugged in, won't open my intercom, which is not great. So I ended up buying a Ring intercom buzzer. But it would be pretty nice if, you know, somebody buzzes the intercom. I do have it set up to automatically open at some points, but, you know, it would be nice to just be able to press a button on my Stream Deck to buzz the intercom. So I think I'm going to have to do that. So I mentioned some of the things that I have already. So I actually have a little collection of buttons on my Stream Deck for work for opening a sprint, which is our current 3-week period of work at work in our project tracker for opening a particular story. So that's, you know, a sort of, it's bigger than a task. It's a mini project, I guess. And then also for opening tickets in the ticket system. And so all of those will pop up. They use Keyboard Maestro, and it just runs a macro which pops up and says, hey, give me a number. I type in the number, and then it just throws it into the URL and opens it. Very, very simple. And then I have, you know, some classic buttons, I guess you could say. They just open particular applications. But they also make sure that I go to the right, version of the application, if that makes sense. So my drafts button, it doesn't just open drafts. It opens drafts using a URL scheme to a particular workspace, which means that I have, you know, the right actions and so on available to me. And that makes a big difference, just having things like that. Because obviously I can command tab and switch to certain applications. It's nice to have that sort of thing. I also, and maybe you're going to want to steal some of these, David, I have a paste button on my Stream Deck. Now, some people are thinking, Rose, it's Command-V, right? You know this. I am very aware paste is Command-V. The paste button on my Stream Deck will actually open Boop specifically, which is a great little Mac application. And then it uses, I'm actually using Keyboard Maestro for this. It does Command N for new, as in wipe the slate clean, and then it pastes. So this means that, whatever is on my clipboard, which is usually a pretty large chunk of data, gets pasted into a new Boop window. And Boop only ever has one window. It's not a document editor. It's for in the moment text, which you don't save, or you have to take it somewhere else to save it. Very useful for formatting things and so on. I actually have a couple of other paste buttons as well, which is paste to drafts and paste to OmniFocus as well, which will pop up in my quick capture for OmniFocus and then pastes into it.
Okay, so I have to go down this rabbit hole. Why would you use Boop instead of just open a blank draft?
So in this particular case, it's code-based text that I am pasting. So it'll be like JSON, or it could be JavaScript, or, it could be SQL, something like that. There's a whole bunch of things that it could be, but it's usually like data rather than text, and it'll be a lot of it. So that's why I'll paste it in there, because, if I've got raw HTML, if I paste that into Boop, then I can press Command B, and then I can type format, because I'm now searching for through its commands, and then I can use format XML. I can format JSON, I can minify things, I can, remove slashes or add slashes to escape stuff, all sorts of stuff, very, very quickly and easily using Boop's actions. So that's why I have a specific paste to Boop. And also my paste into drafts adds a work tag for those things when I'm on a work machine. And sure. If I'm in my podcasting mode, adds a podcasting tag, etc. So that makes my life a little easier.
Yeah, I've played over the years with, like, Boop, looking at it, is clearly a developer tool. So it's really for code. But I've played with, over the years, trying out other apps in addition to drafts to, like, hold temporary text. What's the one made by the Icon Factory? There's a little text app they have.
Tot?
Yeah. But I just feel like Drafts does all this for me. I don't really need to make this more complicated.
That's fair enough. I mean, for me, Drafts is for text, not for data.
Yeah.
And when I've got a bunch of data, I'll often paste it into Boop, do a little formatting thingy, and then take it on to wherever else it needs to go. Or if I need to keep that and maybe multiples around for a while, then I'll put it into BB Edit. I often throw things into Boop because there is no way to save. It's just data that's there right now, and then it's going away. So for me, the fact that I'm not going to end up with a random draft that's got, potentially some client data in it or something that I might need to worry about is very handy.
What a great name for an app, though. Boop.
Oh, it is. It's so good. Yeah. And I also love the fact that the action shortcut is Command B for Boop.
Yeah.
So It also happens to be right between V and N. So that's great because, you know, if you paste, that's V. If you want a blank boop or to blank boop, I think it is more likely because it's you're emptying the content of what's currently there. That's command N, and B for boop is right in the middle.
Yeah. Now, if you the default setting usually is to create these profiles around specific apps. I talked earlier how I downloaded the Zoom profile set from Elgato. And I think when you set these up, it's very tempting. Like I've made one for OmniFocus. I've made one for Apple Mail. But I also think a good tip for these is to create profiles not based on a particular app, but based on a particular context. So like I have mm-hmm. one for my personal stuff. And if I go to that page, it gets me to the banking and to the personal stuff I do on my computer. I've got another one for the blog, one for podcasts, one for the Max Barkey Labs, one for field guides. And they all have interesting collection of buttons that just make sense for when I'm working in that context. And I find them really useful. Like one of the ones I have runs a Keyboard Maestro that copies a file to a folder on Dropbox. And I covered this in the Keyboard Maestro field guide, but you can make a Keyboard Maestro file moving action, but then you can tie it to a button in Stream Deck. And I've got a picture of JF Brissett on there, the guy who helps me with editing. And when I finish a file for him, I just go to the context and push the button of his smiling face and the file gets sent to him. And it's just like stuff like that makes sense. And like, I've got a one here I'm just looking at right now, the one I do for the labs. I've got a voiceover button. I've got in and out markers for screen flow. It's just a whole bunch of different collection of things that I find useful when I'm working in that context. And not all of these have all the buttons taken, but whenever I find myself doing things repeatedly, I add a button for it. And it actually is really nice to work in context on Stream Deck as well as on apps.
Yeah, I personally find that the context is much more important for me. So therefore, I use manual profile switching than the automatic one.
Yeah.
Because, for example, right now we are recording automators. That is what I am focused on. The fact that Safari is open because I've been adding links to the show notes, that's not relevant. I don't want Safari buttons taking up the whole screen. Similarly, when I switch to the show notes to BB Edit, I don't want BB Edit taking over my whole screen. I just want the buttons to be the same because I am podcasting. And I personally found that when I was having it automatically switch profiles based on applications, the buttons were changing too much, and I ended up with a halo of buttons around the outside that were the same for every profile, because then I needed to still be able to access this thing even though I was currently in Safari, or I was trying to switch back to an application to do a certain action because the button had just disappeared as I switched applications or something. And that gets messy very, very quickly if you've got that sort of problem. I've gone for the context switching one. I still not managed to nail down really switching profile automatically when I switch a context. And this is something that if you're using Better Touch Tool, it's a lot easier because Better Touch Tool has more controls. But as far as I'm aware, even Keyboard Maestro, which has added, all of the Stream Deck actions, there is no way to switch profile with it, which is really frustrating. So you kind of have to what I've done is I've dedicated a button. It's usually in the top right. I currently have my Stream Deck pedal button there, so I'm going to have to shuffle some things around because obviously I was messing with stuff earlier and I moved some things unintentionally. But usually the button in the top right opens a folder which has the different Stream Deck profiles for me. And I don't just have... There is a button. It's under the navigation section in the Stream Deck app. It's called Switch Profile, and it can do something like go to the next profile. And you can specify which device you're controlling as well. Or it can just go to a specific profile. The problem with Next Profile is I never remember what order profiles are in. And I create temporary profiles to like test something out to see if that's, you know, if this setup of these three things I'm going to want to change, if that actually works for me. So just constantly switching to the next profile is not very helpful. So instead, I have it open a folder, and in that folder, there are buttons for all of the different profiles that I may want to switch to. So yeah, that's what I'm doing there.
Yeah. And see, that's the advantage. I'm going to talk you into buying another XL, because that's the advantage of having a static.
I mean, I use the plus for this sort of thing a lot of the time. Yeah. But I usually have a button on the Stream Deck as well. It's just, I was shuffling some stuff around on my desk earlier, and I've ended up with my plus like shoved over to one side in a not particularly easy to access spot. So I'm just going to try and pull that back. There we go. And now I can actually see the buttons and see the screen and press them.
Yeah.
So
rather than switching through them, because I've got so many buttons, I have a dedicated button for each context, and it's always there. So that makes it easy. But you're right. I feel like if there's something they could improve on the software, it would be more addressable via automation. Like you can change profiles with a shortcut, exactly, or something. And they haven't gone there. You can go the other direction, though. Like you could set up a button that triggers a shortcut, and you could make the button kind of the impetus for everything. That's why I'm thinking about making my screen setups on this Neo like a thing, because then it would trigger the timer and set up the screens and do all the, you know, it would do all the things, but then I would really be bound to make the switch via the Neo as opposed to some other methodology.
Yeah, that's the thing, because the action that I would use for that on the Stream Deck, it's the multi-action. And so a multi-action is just, hey, when you press this, do X amount of things. So within that multi-action, I would then add a profile action to switch the profile. And then you could switch it to a particular profile. And then you can use whatever action it is that you want to use for whatever your context switching thing is. I would recommend folks, if you are looking to get into like context setups and so on, I would recommend not building the whole thing as a multi-action in the Stream Deck.
Yeah.
Not because it's unreliable. I've not actually lost data within the Stream Deck profiles or anything, but just because you are not going to be able to trigger this from anything else. So if you temporarily unplug your Stream Deck or something, you're not going to be able to use it. Until you plug it back in. Whereas if you create it in Shortcuts, Keyboard Maestro, a bunch, Alfred, whatever, like you, then you can use that through everything else. And then you can also trigger it from the Stream Deck. And so I often use KM-Link, which I've linked to in the show notes, to run a particular macro for this sort of thing with Keyboard Maestro. And then Keyboard Maestro is just, it's actually talking to Bunch. It's not very efficient, I guess, but it works. It works 100% of the time, so I'm pretty happy about that. If you do something like that with your multi-action, then you can switch the profile and you can, you know, set up your context, but you are bound to doing it through your Stream Deck. If you do it any other way, then you have to go into the Stream Deck settings and change your profile, which is not great, or use a different button to change it.
Well, overall, I think both of us would agree. Stream Deck is a great tool / toy if you're an automator, and you will constantly find uses for the buttons. Don't feel bad about getting the big one. I have two of them.
You want to try one and you don't have one, and you can't borrow one from a friend, if you do have a friend that has one, good luck trying to pry it off them, to be honest, unless they're genuinely really not using it because they probably haven't heard about the great automation possibilities. Then there is an iOS and an Android app that you can get where you can use your phone as a virtual Stream Deck. It is subscription based, so I would recommend using this as like a trial to see if you would like the Stream Deck. But remember that the actual physical Stream Deck has hardware buttons as well, which are actually like pretty plastic buttons that you press, and it's tactile, so you can feel the difference between the buttons, and there is a marker on the center button on some profiles as well to help you find it without looking.
So we're both fans, but there are alternatives kind of starting to show up. Rose saw one called the Cooler Master. Tell us about that, Rose.
Yeah, so Cooler Master, lovely brand. I saw them at Computex, and along with a bunch of other really cool things that they were showing off, they also have their Master Hub, including some new stuff which had Do Not Photograph signs on, so I'm not going to talk about that just yet. But the thing about the Cooler Master is you've got sort of Stream Deck style button modules, but it's a module. So you buy like a deck, and then you've got modules that you can put on it. So there's a big spinner with a display in the middle. There's like three sort of volume knobs together. There's a 15 button Stream Deck style thing. There's some like paddles that can like move up and down. And it works in vertical. There's sliders as well. And it's really, really cool. And I would really like to get my hands on one of these at some point because it looks really, really cool. But it is modular, so I don't yet know you know how much I would have to spend to set the whole thing up, but it is something that I would really like to try at some point.
Yeah, we'll put a link to this in the show notes. It looks like kind of a nice competing platform. The advantage is modularity, so you can kind of construct the controls mm-hmm. the way you want. But you know, they're going to have a hard time competing with Stream Deck unless they're willing to put some money into the software, for sure.
Well, their software, I saw it. I had a little play with it. It was on Windows, not Mac, but they did assure me that it's coming on Mac as well. It felt very similar to the Stream Deck software. Yeah. It wasn't exactly the same, but it felt very similar in the way that you set things up. You know, there's buttons that you can install and stuff like that. So I think that they've clearly seen what other people are doing and what works, and they are looking at that to take advantage of it.
Yeah, and then you also have one with the Zensea Labs Quick Keys, which is something you've talked about in prior episodes of the show. It's like a little like control surface as well that you set aside next to your Mac. We'll put a link to that as well. It's got programmable buttons and a dial. I actually ordered one of these and tried it for a few days and found that I didn't really feel like it was doing anything that I wasn't already getting with my existing Stream Decks, and I didn't want one more thing on my desk. But how are you using this, Rose?
So this is always in my bag whenever I go to the office for a day. So I only go to a physical office once every 3 weeks, and the whole team goes in on the same day. So it's a large conference room with up to like 15, maybe more of us around tables with laptops. And there's not a huge amount of space for a lot else. So having like, you know, an extra Stream Deck there or taking in a keyboard and mouse that are a bit nicer, that's not necessarily a great option because we are constrained on space. But Zensea Labs Quick Keys is narrow enough that I can always fit it in next to my laptop. And it just gives me 8 buttons and a dial, which I can use as a sort of mini Stream Deck. And it works in portrait or landscape. And so I tend to use it for those days. And I have a nice custom setup where I can switch to certain applications that I'll be using frequently on those days, like Figma you know, our retro tracker and things like that, where every 3 weeks, as we finish a block of work, people over those 3 weeks put in some notes about what went well, what didn't go well, and who's awesome and why they're awesome. And then we go in and review that. So yeah, I have links to pop up and stuff like that and you know, present and things like that. So that's what I use it for because it is so small and it works wirelessly as well as wired, which is a nice upgrade over the Stream Deck, which only works if you plug it in. So if you don't have a spare port, which when I am doing these office days, I don't always have a spare port, depending on what I'm doing, then it's quite nice to be able to use it on battery.
Yeah. And then there's a whole variety of control surface things for like making Final Cut videos or whatever. The Stream Deck, while it's useful for those tools, it's not a replacement for those tools. And I would say if you need something like that with the big knobs on it to do your video edits, it's not that. The Stream Deck is not that. Either way, I know a lot of listeners are already invested in Stream Deck, but I thought it'd be fun to go back and talk about kind of what we're doing with the mini insight we have. The context thing for me is particularly useful. I do love my collection of Stream Decks. I would not give any of them up. And I don't know that I need another one, but who knows what Elgato is going to announce next, right?
I mean, that is the case, though I have to say I did join their Discord. And so I get all of the pings about their live streams, which they've been doing quite a few of. And so hopefully I will get a little heads up on things that are coming. And the other thing is, if you're interested in Elgato stuff, Matthew Castanelli is an Elgato partner. And so he has been getting some heads up. I managed to do some giveaways at WWDC as well. So, worth keeping an eye on his posts on social media and so on to see what's coming from Elgato when he can give you the scoop.
All right. We are The Automators. You can find us at relay.fm/automators. Thank you to our sponsor today, Scriptrunner for Jira. If you are an Automators Mac subscriber, stick around. We're going to talk about more Elgato gear today. Otherwise, we'll see you next time.